In the name of the Holy Trinity, loving Creator, Christ our brother, and the life-giving Holy Spirit. In preparation for today's sermon, I did some research and discovered that Trinity Church in Newton Center was founded on Trinity Sunday in 1889. Congratulations on your 130th anniversary. Our scripture readings this morning help us reflect on the mystery of the Trinity. The first reading from the book of Proverbs presents wisdom as a person who existed before creation of the world and daily was God's delight, rejoicing before God always. Theologians see this personified wisdom as a prefigurement of the second person of the Trinity, the Word, or as the Holy Spirit. Then we heard Psalm 8, a song of praise exalting God as Creator. You may remember that a scroll of Psalm 8 was carried on the spacecraft that went to the moon. Astronaut Neil Armstrong, looking back from space toward Earth, said, "It suddenly struck me that that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the Earth. I put up my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out the planet Earth. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small. Yes, when we consider this universe that God created, we are small indeed." Then the epistle to the Romans tells us God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The mystery of the Trinity is all about God's love for us. But how do we explain the Trinity? Like all Jews of his time, Jesus would have considered the notion of three gods blasphemous. The first command for Jews is from the book of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Jews still say this prayer twice a day, at least. So for Jesus himself and for his contemporaries, including all the original apostles, the question would never have been, is Jesus another God? And yet, empowered by the Holy Spirit of truth that Jesus promised to send them in today's gospel passage, the disciples grew in the conviction that Jesus enjoyed a unique and co-equal relationship with God. The language to explain how this could be took 400 years to develop and is about as sophisticated and complex as it can get. Very few people actually understand the language and concepts used to explain the mystery of who God is. It is not surprising, therefore, that so many have turned to images rather than language to express what we're celebrating. St. Patrick had his famous three-leaf clover. Church school teachers sometimes use the image of a small or a large sailboat. There is the boat itself, the Father, the sail, Jesus, and the wind, the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we can compare the Trinity to the experience of a child that a child might have in discovering the different dimensions of a parent's love. In the early years of, say, a daughter's experience of her mother, she knows her as an immense and powerful figure that rules and orders her world. From the mother, the child learns what she must or must not do. It is a relationship of superior to inferior. But then when the child gets older, the mother perhaps invites the daughter to go with her on a trip, just the two of them alone. And along the way, the daughter begins to see a different person, someone who is a contemporary, a companion. She and her mother laugh together and talk openly about their lives. The relationship has become very different. Now it is more of equals. And then later, when the mother dies, the daughter one day hears someone say to her, You sound just like your mother. And the daughter realizes that she now carries inside her much of her mother's own spirit. One love has been experienced in three ways, as parent, as friend, and as inner spirit. The early Eastern Church Fathers, St. Gregory of Nazianzus, St. John of Damascus, and others, call the Trinity the perichoresis of God, a Greek word that means dance. It is an image to describe the inner life of the Trinity that has been picked up again by contemporary theologians because it conveys the inner dynamism of the dancing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ironically, perhaps, as Jesuit J.A. Loftus points out, modern scientific discoveries support the usage of the same image. Biologists discovered that every atom in our bodies is composed of three elements: protons, neutrons, and electrons. And they too exist only in relationship to each other. Their energy, if you will, is in the relationship between them. Astronomers discovered amazing parallels in the universe outside us. Planets, suns, asteroids, and all other heavenly bodies only exist in relationship to each other through a force energy we call gravity. Their energy is also held in being only in relationship to each other. And the smallest particle of matter we have discovered is called a quark. It too comes only in threes. All of this should make us wonder. Three persons in one Godhead may not really be that foreign in this universe as it has seemed for centuries. Energy in this universe is in relationships, and the energy of our God is simply love. Whatever images of the Trinity that you may find helpful, I hope that you will leave room for the dance. The dancing God. Dance a bit yourself in the beauty and music of a limitless love that could never just be one, but must be at least three. The Trinity invites us not just us, but the Trinity invites the whole universe to hum and jig with delight. Amen.